Welcome back to the Rock Pod, where every episode is fueled by rock and roll and a little caffeine. And today's caffeine is brought to you by Tony Sims. Tony went to rockpod.com and he mashed that buy a cup of coffee button, and we do appreciate it. Every little bit helps. Today, oh baby, today we're going to be going big. We're going bigger than a stack of busted Marshall amps after a Pete Townsend set. We're diving into the mad, magnificent, and mod-soaked world of The Who. Four lads from London who didn't just play rock, they obliterated the idea of what a band could be. Exploding drums, shredded guitars, operatic ambition, and more infighting than a cage match. And still, they gave us some of the greatest albums and moments and musical chaos ever recorded. We're talking about Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, and the one, the only, Keith freaking Moon. Strap in. This one's going to be loud. Welcome to the Rock Pod. All right, let's rewind to the early 60s, London's suburbs. We've got a couple of teenagers obsessed with R&B, jazz, and American rock. Pete Townsend was a lanky, awkward art student with a serious guitar obsession. He had a sharp mind, an artistic soul, and a deeply complicated relationship with his family, particularly his absent father and his alcoholic mother. Music was both an escape and a calling. John Entwistle, quiet and methodical, was his classmate, known as the Ox. He allegedly had an affinity for brass instruments and an encyclopedic knowledge of harmony and arrangement. He would become the solid core of the band's sonic chaos. They formed a jazz band, then skiffle group, then something closer to rock. Pete and John eventually linked up with Roger Daltrey, who had dropped out of school and was working in a sheet metal factory. Roger was pure attitude, an old-school tough guy with the voice of a lion and a temper to match. At first, Daltrey ran the band like a dictator. He even kicked Pete out for a brief time, and when Pete challenged him, yeah. But the chemistry was undeniable. They called themselves the Detours. Then came Keith Moon in 1964, part drummer, part lunatic. The previous drummer couldn't keep up, and Moon was eager to prove himself. So he showed up to an audition wearing his signature blonde mop and a suit. Then he sat down at the kit and obliterated it mid-song. The band hired him on the spot. They soon ditched the Detours name after discovering it was already taken and became The Who. They also briefly experimented with the name The High Numbers, trying to appeal to the mod scene, but it didn't stick. The Who had already found their name and their destiny. The Who fully embraced mod culture. Sharp suits, scooters, R&B, and rebellion. They were loud, brash, and kinetic. Pete began smashing his guitars out of frustration during shows, and soon it became a signature move. He was inspired by artist Gustav Metzger's theory of auto-destructive art. But let's be real, the crowd loved it. Their debut album, My Generation, dropped in 1965. It was raw, aggressive, and totally unique. The title track was a youth anthem, Hope I Die Before I Get Old. That one line immortalized a generation. Daltrey's stuttering delivery wasn't an accident. It mimicked amphetamine-fueled mod speech, but also added edge and urgency. Meanwhile, Entwistle was writing songs like Boris the Spider, a creepy crawly track beloved by fans. And Moon's drumming was unlike anything before or since. It was more lead instrument than rhythm. It was wild, unpredictable, but always somehow in time. By 1966, they had destroyed more equipment than any other band. They even got banned from venues for wrecking stages. On American TV, they caused chaos on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Moon loaded his bass drum with explosives, and he set them off, blowing Townsend off his feet and allegedly contributing to Pete's lifelong hearing loss. With psychedelia in full swing, The Who weren't content just cranking out singles. Pete Townshend began writing Tommy, a bold, strange, spiritual rock opera about a deaf, dumb, and blind boy who becomes a messiah-like figure through pinball. You've heard it. It wasn't just a story, it was a statement. Pete poured his soul into the concept, drawing from spiritual leader Meher Baba, his own childhood trauma, and ideas about enlightenment and fame. Tommy debuted in 1969 to rave reviews. Tracks like I'm Free, Amazing Journey, and Pinball Wizard became staples. The band performed the full album live in front of stunned audiences who had never seen anything like it. They even played Tommy at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York. Rock had officially gone highbrow. The Who's appearance at Woodstock further cemented their legacy. They played at dawn and nearly walked off after a financial dispute, but ended up delivering a ferocious set. Abbie Hoffman rushed the stage mid-performance to protest the arrest of John Sinclair. Pete hit him with a guitar and booted him off stage. And that's The Who, folks. After Tommy, Townshend tried to go bigger. Enter Lifehouse, a sci-fi musical about a dystopian future where people plug into a grid for entertainment. And music is the last true human expression. Does it sound familiar? He basically predicted the internet, virtual reality, and streaming decades before they happened. But Lifehouse was too ambitious. The band and producers couldn't make sense of it. Townshend had a breakdown. Thankfully, engineer Glenn Johns helped salvage the best songs, and they became The Who's Next, arguably the greatest rock album of the 1970s. Baba O'Reilly, Behind Blue Eyes, Won't Get Fooled Again. These were sonic revolutions. The ARP synthesizer, the power chords, the intensity. Nobody else was doing it like The Who. But backstage, things were getting rough. Keith's drinking had spiraled. Pete became more withdrawn and neurotic, and the band was successful, but unstable. Townshend revisited mod culture with Quadrophenia, another concept album that focused on a troubled young mod named Jimmy. No relation, I think. The album was brilliant, drenched in British identity, youthful angst, and layered instrumentation. Each member of the band represented a facet of Jimmy's splintered psyche. 515, The Real Me, and Love Rain O'er Me were highlights, but the tour's technical nightmares. The band used backing tracks, which frequently malfunctioned, and Pete was furious, sometimes storming off stage, and Moon collapsed during the shows. In San Francisco, Moon overdosed mid-set. A call went out to the crowd, "Can anyone play drums?" Scott Halpin, a fan in the audience, stepped up and played the rest of the show. Only The Who could turn that kind of disaster into legend. By the late 70s, Moon was barely functional. His playing had deteriorated, and his health was rapidly declining. In 1978, just weeks after Who Are You was released, Moon died from a drug overdose. He was only 32. The cover photo of the album showed him slumped on a chair, marked "Not to be taken away." It was heartbreakingly prophetic. The band tried to move on. Kennedy Jones joined on drums, but the chemistry wasn't the same. They recorded Face Dances and It's Hard, but by 1983, they were burned out. Pete left the band. The Who, as the world knew them, and well, they were done. Of course, great rock bands never really die. The Who reunited multiple times. 1985 Live Aid, 1989 Tour, 1996 Quadrophenia Tour, and beyond. In 2000, they were still going strong, but tragedy struck again in 2002. John Entwistle died in Las Vegas from a cocaine-induced heart attack just before a U.S. tour. Pete and Roger carried on, releasing Endless Wire in 2006 and Who in 2019. They toured with orchestras, delivered powerful live shows, and continued to honor the band's legacy. Pete Townshend remains one of rock's greatest writers, equal parts rebel and philosopher. Daltrey, his longtime frenemy, still hits those high notes and commands the stage. They are survivors, they're legends. The blueprint for chaos and brilliance in equal measure. All right, well, that's it for this week's dive into Maximum R&B and Maximum Mayhem. From busted guitars to rock operas to spiritual quests, The Who remain one of the loudest, boldest, and most unforgettable acts in rock history. Without The Who, we wouldn't have punk, arena rock, power pop, or probably half of your favorite bands. So next time you see a windmill strum or hear a mic fly across the stage, give a nod to The Who. And if you're still standing after all that, give us a follow at therockpod.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to mash that buy a cup of coffee button if you don't mind. Until next time, don't get fooled again. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow The Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes. And be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for The Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip. We'll see you next time. Additional music on this episode, My Generation, Pinball Wizard, Baba O'Reilly, 515, Who Are You, Real Good Looking Boy, and Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who.